The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
How are your relationships today? Personal, professional, could they be better? Welcome to Talk Time with Trish, with host Trish Ferrante and co-host Lisa Stewart. There are so many variables that affect our lives. What makes the difference in our lives is genuine communication. Now, here are your hosts, Trish Ferrante and Lisa Stewart.
Hi, this is Dr. Lisa Stewart, and welcome to Talk Time with Trish. Our show is about improving communication for both men and women. How do our relationships with supervisors and management influence how happy we are at work? What should we do when we have a supervisor who is disrespectful or downright mean? What can employers and managers do to help those workers who are on the front lines become happier and hopefully more productive employees? Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing the host of our show, Trish Ferrante, about what she learned recently while working part-time as a minimum wage employee. Similar to the Undercover Boss series, Trish gained valuable insight into the challenges that American workers face every day. Welcome, Trish.
Hi, Dr. Stewart. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad to be able to interview you, and I'm so excited to hear about your experiences recently.
Well, I have to tell you, and there is one little correction that I need to make, although it's not that big of a deal, but the pay scale is just a tad above minimum wage. And I bring that up only because it just goes to demonstrate the mindset of the managers and the supervisors. It's all in the same basket. This has been quite an experience for me. Very, very interesting. And my sense is, my hope is that in the world of consulting, management consulting, employer consulting, and employee assistance, it will make me a better manager, because rather than sympathizing, which is important and significant in terms of the world of work, now I can actually empathize, and it's amazing.
Actually have put yourself in the shoes of, you know, as you and I in the EAP world, you put yourself in the shoes of the employees that we talk to on a regular basis.
Yes. That's what I did, yes.
And it's really interesting, because I like to compare your adventures to the Undercover Boss series, which I absolutely love. And I think it's such an eye-opener for a lot of these executives who go into their own companies on the ground level and really take a look at what's happening. Because I think when you sort of sit in the ivory tower, a lot of times you have no idea what's actually happening on the front lines. Now, you weren't the executive in your own company, but you did come in on kind of on the front lines or the ground level. Can you take us through that experience and give us a little background on this experiment you conducted?
Yes, I'm happy to. And everything you're saying, I want to emphasize, you are absolutely correct. For the Undercover Boss series, those managers, owners, executives, if you watch the show, and I do, they are just flabbergasted by what they learn. And the same thing in this case, as it pertains to me and my experience, starting with the interview process, there were probably, I want to say, anywhere from 400 to 500 people applying for a handful of jobs to begin with.
So it sounds like that process alone was pretty brutal to begin with.
It was shocking. It was shocking. And yes, it was brutal. That's a great word to describe it. But more than that, it was shocking. It was shocking from so many different angles, the way people dressed as potential employees.
Tell me about that. Give me an example of what you're talking about.
I saw everything. I saw cutoff shorts to jeans to suits to dresses that should have been worn perhaps at nightclubs, maybe not even. I saw everything, and I was very, very, very surprised. I was very surprised.
Now, out of those different dress codes, who is more likely to get this particular type of job? Do you think that influenced their decision?
I do. I do. And it would be, I would think, the person who was well-groomed.
Okay.
You know, if you had khaki pants on and a polo, that was okay. If you had a suit on, that was okay, provided that you were well-groomed.
Okay. So you're speaking now perhaps as an executive yourself, but also being in it on the front lines and just observing what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I because the interviews, that was the other thing that was very interesting. The interviews were being conducted simultaneously. There were 10, 12, 15 interviews occurring at one time. So I was able to see who was getting the nod to the second go-round and who was being pushed aside. And the day that I started, I actually ran into a number of people that I saw the first day during this first round of interviews. So, again, it's very interesting.
The fact that you mentioned there were 500 people applying for a handful of jobs, I think that really speaks to the state that our economy is in right now.
Yes.
And
yes,
how desperate perhaps people are for work. You know, this is something you did. Fortunately, this is not your sole source of income, but there were, I'm sure you saw a lot of desperation.
I did. I saw a number of people discussing the fact that they need the job, not with the potential employer, but with each other. And I actually engaged in some of those conversations, not really adding much verbally, but listening. And there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, I need this extra money. Yeah. To make ends meet.
So, and the interview process, what was that, pretty grueling, or what did you have any, do you have any feedback on that from both as an employee, potential employee, and an employer side?
Oh, yes. Again, the word that comes to mind is shocking. The things that the interviewers said to me in particular, and about me while I was in earshot. Now, whether or not the interviewer and the manager knew that I was in earshot, I don't know. But I can tell you,
Well, give me some examples. I mean, was it basically, was it inappropriate?
Oh, it was very inappropriate.
Oh. Okay. Well, within reason, give me some examples.
things like about me in particular, because that's really all I care to speak about, was talking about my assets or what they perceived to be my physical assets, talking about how that would work very well for the job that they were slating me for, talking about my personality, my smile, things that I really should not have heard.
Okay.
While they were nice things, and I was grateful for that, I'm not sure that I should have really been in earshot. And there was a lot of use of four-letter words as well. One beginning with F, one beginning with S. Again, we all know that goes on behind closed doors and, you know, whatever, but
on the day you're being interviewed for the position, I guess that sort of, though, sets the tone for what you're about to walk into, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, it surprised me. It did. It really took me back from a professional perspective, because this is a huge, huge company with a major profile. So it really surprised me. Okay. That perspective. Yeah. Yeah.
So again, just the inappropriateness, and then the, did they ask you questions that in our world as consultants to human resources from an EAP perspective, did they ask you questions that they probably shouldn't have asked?
Let me think about that for just one second. No, I don't think asking me.
Okay.
Was a problem. It was more of what I heard in earshot, a discussion and discussions with other potential candidates that really should not have occurred in this venue.
Because putting the employer at risk potentially?
Putting the employer at risk.
From a liability perspective.
Sure. What if I didn't get the job? What if I didn't get the job? Now, it would have been a he said, she said,
right?
But I could have made some noise. What if I didn't get the job?
So in terms of just going back and saying, you didn't hire me because I wasn't pretty enough, or you said this about me, or someone, you know, and is this how you gauge your candidates based on physical attributes? That's not okay. Those kinds of things.
Yep. Well, you're being quite.
I'm being very appropriate. I'm being politically correct for the purposes of our show.
Yes.
Well, and on that note, unfortunately, it is time to take a short break. And this is Lisa Stewart, and my guest today is Trish Ferrante. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Talk Time with Trish is proudly sponsored by Rachel Liu Gluten-Free Foods. Based in Long Island, Rachel Liu's gluten-free muffins and cookies are sold in some of the biggest retail grocery stores in the New York area and will be coming soon to Whole Foods stores in Florida. You can also purchase Rachel Liu's gluten-free cookies and muffins by going online to www.glutenfreemall.com and search for Rachel Liu Gluten-Free Foods. They can be delivered right to your front door anywhere in the country. Created by nutritionists using only high-end quality ingredients, Rachel Liu's gluten-free foods are 100% natural, meaning not only are they nutritious, they're totally delicious. To order, call 516-679-3033 or visit our website, rachelliuglutenfreefoods.com. That's 516-679-3033 or rachelliuglutenfreefoods.com. Talk Time with Trish is proud sponsor of the 3rd annual Jackson Liskowski Keep Hope Alive Charity Golf Tournament, hosted by Tim and Michelle Liskowski. This amazing event will take place on Saturday, July 13th at the Westchester Country Club in Boynton Beach, Florida. The event will include a golf tournament, awards dinner, raffle, and live and silent auctions. Jackson is a 6-year-old little boy battling stage 4 liver cancer, and we are looking for sponsors and golfers for our fundraiser to benefit our nephew Jackson. You and your family or company can be a part of this very special event by golfing or donating sponsorships or items to help pay for what is not covered by insurance. You can call the chairperson, Michelle Liskowski, at 561-252-2933 or go to our website at theemployeeassistanceprogram.com to see the link for more information. That's 561-252-2933 or go to employeeassistanceprogram.com. Thank you for your support and love for Jackson and his family. Please keep hope alive for our children battling cancer. Talk Time with Trish would like to thank the Voice America Radio Network. It has been a great 26 weeks, but next week will be our last show on Voice America. But don't worry, we will continue to do our shows on our own website. All you have to do is go to talktimewithtrish.com to listen to our show. Not only can you listen to a new show, but you can also listen to previous shows and obtain continuing education units right there on our website. How easy is that? Trish is also an author, and you can read part of her book on the Talk Time with Trish website. Again, thank you for listening to our show, and we look forward to having you continue to follow us on our website, TalkTimeWithTrish.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Lisa Stewart, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is our own Trish Ferrante, and we're focusing on seeing the workplace through the lens of the American worker. Trish, before the break, you were sharing with us some of your experiences with the interview process of this company that you started working with sort of on the front line. So, and what you were sharing before the break was that a lot of the comments that were made, there were some things that, you know, we're not necessarily by the book if we were going to ask a human resources professional, that there are things you might not want to say in front of your prospective candidates. Tell us more about your experience. So the interview process, you obviously got the job.
I did.
So you out of
a, it's a good thing that I met their criteria.
Yeah. Well, you know, so you had in out of a, you know, again, handful of jobs out of maybe 500 people, they saw enough in you, obviously, the skill set that they were looking for. They hired you. What was the next step of the process like for you?
Well, you know, I was oriented, and I was oriented by myself, but that's neither here nor there. I just make mention of that because, again, that was another faux pas. But
In other words, you weren't given any kind of formal training or orientation. They just kind of threw you to the wolves, so to speak.
Well, they threw me to the wolves, so to speak. There was an orientation that occurred, but whatever happened with my email address and so on and so forth, so I had to be taught the tricks of the trade by myself.
Okay.
So, again, you know, that's I learned on the job.
Okay.
I learned on the job because that orientation was different from the one that everyone else was in receipt of. But mostly what my takeaway is from this experience is that the worker today, regardless of education background, and I say that because of, you know, my level of education and some of the others there. Some people are bankers. Some are work in hospitals. I mean, and some, you know, work for different cities in the area. It runs the gamut of first-time jobs. This is a part-time job for everyone. Just about. So each person has a first-time income. In other words, income that puts the bread and butter on the table. This is income to pay the credit cards or pay the car payment or take care of the diapers or whatever.
So it supplements you, for most
right.
people what they already have. But I'm betting there are some people that are probably very dependent on this.
Oh, they are. Oh, they are. The majority, I would say 90 to 95% of folks that I work with on the front lines are dependent on this second income to make.
Which I want, you know, I want everyone to pay attention to that because as we move forward, you know, we can come back to that because I think that's really important in terms of being dependent on the income versus being able to say, I'm done. I don't need this anymore. There's a different dynamic that happens.
Oh yes. Oh yes. And I can tell you, no one there knows that who I am, or what I'm about, or the fact that any monies that I make is going to be donated to one of my favorite charities. They have no idea of my education and what I do for a living. Although it is on my application, but I think that that kind of got overlooked. But anyway, the way we, and I say we because I'm included in this, are treated by supervisors and managers, I have to tell you, is so eye-opening that it saddens me. That's the word that comes to mind, is it saddens me.
Now, would you say across the board it's less than respectful or downright mean or disrespectful? Is that kind of the pattern that you're seeing? Or are there some that are good and some that are really awful?
Well, I would say across the board, there's a sense of disrespect. The hierarchy is alive and well. With that disrespect comes a gamut of, or a range of, the type of disrespect that someone receives.
Can you give me an example of that? Like, what are some perhaps disrespectful things you've actually heard supervisors say or that have been were said to you in this process?
Well, to me, I can tell you what has been said to me. You're wearing the wrong color pants. Look around. Do you see that everyone around you is in a different color pants? Meanwhile, I did not say this to this individual, who was not a supervisor, by the way. But I'm thinking to myself, well, I read the handbook up one side and down the other, and this color pants is in the handbook. But, you know, I just smiled and said, oh, well, would you like me to go to the store and get the what you say are the correct color pants? And because I didn't know what else to say. And,
well, it sounds like the tone and the way that it was said to you was so disrespectful and so harsh that it took you off. It threw you off. It took you off guard.
Well, it didn't. It threw me off guard in that I would never speak to someone that way, particularly at the workplace. I just wouldn't, unless I was playing around with you, Dr. Stewart.
I was going to say, anyway.
But in a real setting, I just wouldn't. I have too much respect for people in general to speak to someone or anyone the way I was spoken to. But second to that, it was just this attitude of, I am better than you.
I'm better than you and I'm in charge of you.
I'm better than you and I'm in charge of you. I could not have said it better myself. Yes.
Which I would imagine on the front line, people really, it doesn't inspire teamwork, motivation, loyalty, all the things that as employers we look for in our employees.
Oh, no, it doesn't. What it does is it causes folks to be supervisors, managers, to be mocked, to be made fun of, to be laughed at, to be disregarded. And I believe that that's a coping mechanism. I think that really underneath that is pain and hurt. Like, why are you talking to me that way? I can tell you it. I, as a business consultant, observing that and being a participant in a conversation like that, the first thing I would do is let human resources know, you have a problem here.
Okay. So the managers are, again, disrespectful, rude a lot of times to their supervisees. What can you give me another example of something that was said to you, or something that was? I think you referenced when someone called you over and how they did that.
Oh yeah, it was, hey you. And now this, I happen to be one of the as new hires go, I wasn't wearing my badge this particular day, and I happen to be one of the folks I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I happen to be one of the folks who is on the upper tier of the new hires. In other words, I'm considered part of the executive level of new hires. I didn't have my badge on, and I was just one of the sheep. But even still,
someone's yelling, "Hey you!
Hey you!" Hey, someone is yelling, hey, you, to me. And it was across this big room. And I just, I didn't know at first that I was being spoken to, because no one talks to me that way. You know, hey, you, particularly in a workplace. And it, as a business consultant, if I was on site of any of my companies and I saw or heard a manager speaking to an employee that way, I would, the first thing I would do is say to HR, to human resources, you may want to talk to that supervisor or manager.
So what did you do when they said, hey, you? How did you respond?
Well, at first I didn't, because I didn't know that it was me. But then when someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, I think he's talking to you, I put my hand out and smiled and looked the person right in the eyes and said, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. And your name is? Hi, I'm Trish. And, you know, and that kind of caught him off guard, and he kind of took a step back and did not say that to me again.
Okay. The rest of so, it. You know, just as a takeaway for the average employee that's out there, because you handled it very well, you could have bit your tongue, felt insulted, got annoyed, which maybe you did all of those things, but you came back around and handled it in a very assertive and friendly and nice way. Would you say that's the takeaway, you know, is to still be kind and polite and appropriate, but for those frontline employees, if they feel like they're being disrespected, to kind of push back, but in a nice way? Would you suggest that?
Yes, but I wasn't feeling any of those things. I'm sorry. It was more of shock. I was absolutely flabbergasted and shocked. And then when I had time to myself, I started thinking about some of the conversations that I have had with employees on the front lines complaining about their managers and supervisors. And it was like, wow, this is real. This really happens.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, and again, on that note, I think that's there's definitely a lot more to talk about there, but it is time to take another short break. And this is Lisa Stewart, and my guest today is Trish Ferrante. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Talk Time with Trish is proud to sponsor the Worldwide Sports Recap, hosted by Mr. Steve. The NHL Finals took center stage 2 weeks ago. With 2 minutes to go in Game 6, it looked like we were headed back to Chicago for Game 7. The Bruins were up 2-1 in the third period, when all of a sudden the Blackhawks struck twice, scoring two quick goals in the last 2 minutes of the game to win the Stanley Cup. Yes, I know Blackhawk fans would have liked them to win at home so they could celebrate with them, but there's nothing like celebrating on the opponent's home ice. The men's and ladies Wimbledon champions will be crowned this weekend. As I am typing this, number 1 seed Novak Djokovic holds a 2-set-to-1 advantage over number 8 seed Juan Del Potro, with the winner advancing to the finals to play the winner of the Andy Murray Jerzy Janowicz semifinal. On the women's side, Sabine Lisicki, upset winner over American Serena Williams, will play Marion Bartoli on Saturday in the women's final. Good luck, ladies. So as we head to the weekend, tennis fans, don't forget to set your alarms early so that you can have breakfast at Wimbledon. Thanks for listening in, and tune in next week for your weekly recap of your favorite sports. Have a great weekend. This is your host, Mr. Steve.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, Hi, this is Lisa Stewart, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Trish Ferrante, and we're focusing on seeing the workplace through the lens of the American worker. Trish, before the break, you were sharing with us some more examples of just the manner in which supervisors may often talk to employees on the front line, and that kind of the attitude or that sense of I'm in charge of you, and you know, and with a disrespectful sort of tone to it. What are your comments on that? I mean, there are a lot of people who work in these types of jobs who are dependent on that income and they need to be there. Do you have any other ideas of how they can respond to this type of?
Well, you know, as I was listening to you talk coming back from the break, the attitude of the supervisor, manager, even the executive seems to be, now obviously in not 100% of the cases across the country, but in many of the cases that we're aware of, and certainly in this laboratory that I've created for myself, you need me more than I need you. And I'm saddened by that as someone who makes a living in corporate America, because it's we need each other is really, I think, the most fruitful tone and tenor and the healthiest tone and tenor that I think can be taken. It's to me, that's what I did when I put my hand out to this gentleman who said, hey, you, to me. And this really happened, by the way. I'm not making this up, because I thought very quickly, what would I do if I was at work? And the first thing I would do if someone came up to me who didn't know me is I would put my hand out and I would introduce myself. So the issue then becomes, how do we level the playing field? How do you need me as much as I need you? Because that's what works.
Well, and I think just that whole concept of team approach, and when you hear people talking about their jobs and the companies, you know, you hear the names over and over again of the large corporations who feel like family, you know, no matter how large they get, it still feels like family in a good way, not necessarily in the negative connotation, but where they treat their employees with respect, and how people are so happy to work for particular corporations because, you know, their opinion is asked and they're valued. And unfortunately, that doesn't sound like your experience in this particular company that you worked for.
Well, it's not been my experience. And again, remember now, you know, I'm one of the folks that is supposedly premier and platinum and gold. And yet I'm still getting treated this way because they don't know me, which is what I think is the sad part. They don't know me. In other words, I don't care if I'm cleaning toilets. I don't care if I'm, you know, washing floors. I have merit, because if it wasn't for me washing the floors and cleaning the toilets, the patrons would have dirty toilets and dirty floors. My point is that every person has merit, and that doesn't seem to be appreciated in this economy in particular. I'm seeing it more with the fact that for every job opening, there are at least 100 applications.
And, you know, and that's a really good point. And you and I have talked about this before, about how, with the downturn in the economy, you know, I know for a fact that there are people who have the graduate degrees in their field of study, with master's degrees and PhDs, who were let go from their positions because there was no work in their field, or recent college graduates who are incredibly talented, but their particular field of study is there's no need for them. So they're working in retail, they're working in restaurants, they're working on the front line, you know, and so there's a whole vast, you know, there's a vast amount of skills and assets that are being untapped in these companies.
Yes. Yes, for example, my reputation there is, which I find to be very interesting, and don't laugh, but is that I'm a people person, and I'm great with customer service, and you know, you really want me on your team because I'm so good, but yet. That's my reputation, but none of the folks who could tap into that have. What they've done is told me what to do and how to do it, as opposed to saying, if this happened, how would you handle it? Or this is the situation, how would you handle it? Let me give you an example. I was in a certain part of this organization where I was surrounded by people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And apparently three compliments came in to the corporate office about me and what I did or didn't do in this situation. And I'm thinking and I'm saying to myself, why am I not tapped in terms of the manager saying to me, what are you doing? How are you doing it? What is making you do it that way?
So that as a learning opportunity for management, as a learning opportunity for other employees to say, Trish does it this way and gets good results. Let's train for this.
Well, I certainly that's what I would be doing.
Right.
That's what I would be doing. And I just laughed because I'm thinking, huh, you don't even know who I am. And so I just kind of laughed. And of course, I, you know, was very appreciative. I thought that was very nice
That they actually came back and said something to you, because I think that, you know, so that I give them lots of points for that, because how many times do you think that happens where the person that was complimented never hears that? They never actually got that information passed on to them.
Yeah, it was nice, but I looked at it through a different lens. I looked at it through the lens of a consultant, which would be, certainly, I'm not the only one who possesses these skills there. You know, like I said, there are people who work in hospitals. There are people who work in banks. There are people who work for different cities and different counties. So I cannot be, I'm very hard pressed to believe I'm the only one who has these skills. Why aren't they tapped? Why aren't they tapped? And I, as opposed to just being one of the many, I'm the down here and the other people are up there, with the presumption that the people up there know best. And I say that as a consultant, because a consultant, what's the first thing a consultant does? And after they get paid their $3 to $6 million to come in and do whatever, what is it that a consultant does? They go to the front lines,
right?
And they say, what do you do and how do you do it? And they can very quickly assess who the better workers are versus their answer to that question. And I'm saying supervisors and managers, they don't need to hire consultants.
Right. They need some guidance in doing the exact same thing, perhaps. They hopefully can do it well enough on their own. But, you know, just in terms of the work that we do with the employee assistance programs, being able to tap into those resources, perhaps, and pull people in and ask those questions and, you know, train the supervisors and managers to look for that data.
Well, instead, what they do, and here's what is shocking with this, you know, sociological laboratory that I've created with this experiment, is they do the total and complete opposite. It is just again, shocking, and the shock has worn off to a large degree, and now it's sadness in that they're mean. They're mean, and I don't get that. I don't understand.
Well, and what you're describing sounds very degrading. You know, it sounds very degrading.
Degrading is an excellent word. It's an excellent word.
And again, if you go back to the employees that are dependent on these jobs or feel like they don't have a voice and are unable to speak for themselves because they're fearful. You know, I think a lot of the response of just sucking it up and keeping your mouth closed is fear-based. Perhaps they don't have the skills to know how to be assertive in a nice way and to put their hand out and say their name and all of that. So the employees sometimes can use coaching and skill building as well as the managers. But what I see happening when I'm working with employees that are in that situation is resentment building up and frustration.
Oh, yes. And again, you thumbnailed the exact problem or one of the several problems that occur with frontline employees across America. It goes from A to Z very quickly, and it doesn't have to. And you know, let's use the word resentment because that's a great word. I witnessed this this employee who was feeling not so positive about another employee, and it built and built and built over time, resentment. I'll use that word because it's a great word to describe. And this one person wound up just screaming and yelling at this fellow comrade because of the way she was treated. And I'm sitting back going, wow, that didn't have to happen.
So you're saying the employee's frustration, resentment, she'd taken it, and then what I call the volcano syndrome happened and she exploded. And that sounds like it looked pretty ugly. We know, you and I know, that certainly could have been a lot uglier had there been more resentment and frustration and rage, or a different person. It could have gone beyond just yelling and screaming.
It could have. But this was bad enough, I have to tell you.
Okay.
Because it was so unnecessary. Had this person not felt bullied and just so disrespected, the resentment, I don't think, would have had an opportunity to build to the point that she turned around and just lashed out.
Which is a really, and I want to come back to that because I think I see it as our duty in some ways to talk with employers and talk with employees how to keep that from happening. And I really, you know, what are some real concrete things we can do to help prevent that? Because I see that as very scary. But it is time to take another short break. This is Lisa Stewart, and my guest today is Trish Ferrante. You're listening to Talk Time with Trish on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Stay tuned.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Talk Time with Trish would like to thank the Voice America Radio Network. It has been a great 26 weeks, but next week will be our last show on Voice America. But don't worry, we will continue to do our shows on our own website. All you have to do is go to talktimewithtrish.com to listen to our show. Not only can you listen to a new show, but you can also listen to previous shows and obtain continuing education units right there on the website. How easy is that? Trish is also an author, and you can read part of her book on Talk Time with Trish website. Again, thank you for listening to our show, and we look forward to having you continue to follow us on our website, talktimewithtrish.com. Talk Time with Trish is proudly sponsored by Health International Products. Not only are they a sponsor, but our host, Trish Ferrante, uses the product herself. It's new, it's patented, and it's changing the nutritional supplement industry. Energy Eccentric is the liquid capsule within a liquid capsule that controls the release of the energy formula for an 8-hour period. This revolutionary product eliminates the negative side effects of the immediate rush you get from energy drinks and shots and delivers a nice, slow burst of energy and controls it for 8 hours. Energy Eccentric is being sold in retailers all over the United States, including Rite Aid, Kroger, GNC, Kmart, Meijer, Winn-Dixie, and coming to Walgreens in the near future. For a free sample, please call 727-576-4513 or visit our website at 8hoursofenergy.com. That's 727-576-4513 or 8hoursofenergy.com. Talk Time is Trish is sponsored by the 8-time award-winning Managed Care Concepts, where excellence is our only option. Services include managed mental health care, employee assistance, and drug-free workplace programs. With an emphasis on confidentiality, stability, and experience, we get results. Our individualized attention allows us to have a 100% customer retention rate. Our dedication, customer expertise, high engagement, and utilization rate allow us to go that one step beyond the rest. Managed Care Concepts is at your service.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Talk Time with Trish. If you have a question or comment regarding today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. If you prefer, you can send an email to info@talktimewithtrish.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, this is Lisa Stewart, and welcome back to Talk Time with Trish. My guest today is Trish Ferrante, and we're focusing on seeing the workplace through the lens of the American worker. Trish, before the break, we were talking about an incident that you witnessed in the workplace where an employee kind of blew up, I think, at a supervisor, and it sounds like there had been a buildup of just disrespectful behavior over time, and then finally this employee cracked or blew up, if you will. One of the things I mentioned before is I really think, first of all, I think that happens all the time. It happens every day, perhaps not the blow-ups, but the resentment that's building up and the frustration. You know, as consultants ourselves, how do you see that getting fixed? I mean, what can we do as employers? What can the employees do to prevent that from happening?
Well, let me just sort of backtrack a little bit and make mention that with this particular employee, I took her over to the side and tried to calm her down and suggested some options. If something was like this was to happen in the future with this individual or with another, I wish that I could say that she heard me, but I think it's highly unlikely. But let me address your question directly. It's exactly that. It's ongoing training to teach both the employer, and by employer, I'm defining that as all levels of supervisors, from the lowest supervisor level all the way up through the top, and the employee to work with them on a regular basis in terms of communication skills until it becomes a pattern and until it becomes routine. And, you know, thank goodness that communication skill and communication style is not genetic. It is something that we can learn.
Absolutely. And I'm grateful for that, too. And that, again, our work with Managed Care Concepts and our work with creative consultants that we've been fortunate enough to partner with them on, that's a big focus of the EAP world, is being able to train managers in particular and to be able to reach the employees on the front line. And that's what our show is all about, is about communication and effective communication. And, you know, the research I've read on employee job satisfaction or kind of a newer take on the same concept, employee engagement, if you will, in the workplace, it really seems to indicate that the communication between employees and management and those relationships with between employees and supervisors have a huge influence on how happy employees are at work. That's in the top five.
And, you know, and I agree with everything that you just said, but the reality is that in today's job market, employers don't really seem to care as much. I'll caveat it and I'll say as much, perhaps as they used to, about whether or not employees are happy or retained.
Well, when they're a dime a dozen, and I hear that term all the time, that, you know, oh, x-ray techs are a dime a dozen. I can, you know, so there's always somebody waiting in line behind 99 other people who are in line for that position. So they don't have to be nice. They don't have to be respectful. They don't have to take the time.
But as an employee, you owe it to yourself to be respectful of yourself. For example, if we go back to the experience that I had with the man who said, "Hey, you," to me putting my hand out and saying, "And you are, hi, I'm Trish," that was me respecting me.
Right.
It wasn't me saying, "I'm not going to take this from this individual." It was me saying, "No. I want to know who you are, and let me let you know who I am."
And it, again, demonstrated confidence, self-respect, and good communication, which unfortunately, as we know, you know, in the workplace and on the home front and families, good communication, we need a lot of work in our society on communication skills. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Yes, we do. And you know, it just the whole thing, the whole social experiment to me is eye-opening. And I'm here to tell you that I am so thankful and I am so grateful that I, in fact, was chosen as one to participate in this experience, because I can really, really understand now when I talk to an employee. I can truly understand what, in fact, may actually be going on. Because it just, you know, my situation, I want to, you know, say thank God. I guess I just did and I will, but that I'm in a position that I don't need this income. But most certainly for people that do, there is a way out, and the way out is be mindful and respectful of yourself. And think of you meaning yourself, in terms of your code of conduct. When this other employee wound up getting enraged and screaming and yelling due to the internal conflict that was going on, what did that do? That accomplished nothing.
Right. And if we're looking at it as, again, as consultants, you know, and making suggestions, it's a matter of being mindful and respectful of yourself, being self-aware, using good communication skills, and getting support and resources when you need it, you know, looking for ways of improving those skills. And we've talked about this on the show before. Would you agree with that?
I would. I absolutely would. I absolutely would. And the using the resources, here's the thing about that. In this situation, I think that it could be taught that you and I need to work things out before I go to human resources, but human resources is there as a resource to go to in the event that you and I cannot work out our differences.
Absolutely. And I think it saves, you know, there's a decreased risk of liability for employers, and you're going to end up having healthier and happier employees.
And employers. And employers.
Exactly. And I wish we had more time to continue this discussion. And before we close the show, we'd like to thank all of our listeners who've tuned into our show over the past 6 months. We've had a lot of fun working with Voice America and interviewing some amazing guests. We'll be taking a break from show production over the summer, but we invite you to stay connected to us through our website, talktimewithtrish.com. You will be able to hear the archived versions of all of our previous shows, and we will be providing updates on what Trish and the rest of our team are up to. That's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank our guest and host, Trish Ferrante, and remember to always be genuine, sincere, and authentic.
Thank you again for tuning in to Talk Time with Trish. Please join us again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. This week, see what you can do to improve communication with those around you.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.